In the name of Jesus, amen. Hope, 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 hope. If I counted correctly, that's four hopes from the four hopes in our epistle lesson for this second Sunday in Epiphany from Romans chapter 15, that we might have hope, the Gentiles' hope, the God of hope. And then what are really the last words of Romans, because the only thing that comes after it is Paul giving shout outs to friends, that you may abound in hope. Hope, hope, hope. Lots of hope. Hope is important. We put it on banner number one in the back there of the Advent banners. Hope. A YMCA I once worked out at had scrolled across the wall in the cardio section a quote, "He who has health has hope, and he who has hope has everything." Not sure about the first part. I think it's possible to be healthy, at least the kind of healthy you can get from the cardio section, and not have hope. But if you do have hope from somewhere, at least in the sense that it makes everything bearable, it rings true. Hope is important. It is so important, as a matter of fact. It's pretty much, says St. Paul, pretty much the whole reason that we have the Bible. Whatever was written in former days, for Paul that was the Old Testament, but even more true with the New, whatever got written in former days, it all got written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Why did the Bible get written? Why read it and teach it and study it? Why write hymns about it and sing it? Why get it tattooed on our bodies? I got a text a couple weeks back on the Wednesday after a Sunday with a picture of a guy with a tattoo, Luke 23:43, and the words, "Inspired by the gospel lesson and your sermon." I think that was a first. I inspire tattoos. God does. I'm sure there's some body tattoos with some scriptures out there. No need to show. Why the Bible written, studied, sung, painted on bodies, its stories painted on canvases, painted in glass? Hold up the Bible, that big book, to St. Paul and say, "Well, what the heck is this thing for?" That through the patience and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Because it's in short supply. Hope. In Paul's day, example's not hard to come by in Paul's day or in ours. I mean, directly in Romans, it's his itty-bitty Christian church surrounded by the big bad Romans, and even with an itty-bitty church still full of bickering, as the book, good book kind of says, wherever two or three poor miserable sinners are gathered, there you'll have an argument. In our day too. A news aggregator that I follow read a couple weeks ago put two headlines right next to each other, probably on purpose. The first, nationwide Adderall shortage. And then the article, the Adderall shortage, not so much due to legit prescriptions, but because Adderall is the upper of choice for college students and professionals who feel they can't keep up. And then right next to that headline, the second, therapists in short supply. So even when you collapse from not being able to keep up, there's no one to talk to about it. Of course, you might say, "Well, what about friends?" But then there's another headline about the friends deficit and how people don't have friends anymore, don't have people to hope for them when they find it hard to hope. But how many people these days do not have a single close friend, the kind at least you could call in the middle of the night, to talk about your Adderall addiction? Hopeless. A friend whose kid just turned 18, and because he now legally can, turned off his parents, texts me, "I've never been so broken." Hopelessness. Prognosticators predicted a post-pandemic baby boom. like the one that famously happened 9 months after the great blizzard of 1978, but it did not happen. Why? Because hopelessness. Because instead of making people frisky, the pandemic made people depressed. Why bring a child into a world where things, when things get hard, people just get mean? The same sort of thing explains the growing numbers of young people who are saying they're never going to have children at all and having the surgeries already in their early 20s to make sure it never happens because hopelessness about people, the future. Or one more. One more reason not to have hope, as if you need it. And this one from NASA. So it's got to be true. It's their answer. I saw this in an article recently. It's their answer, really riffing on an old one, to the so-called Fermi paradox. What's that? Well, thank you for asking. The Fermi paradox is this thing that comes up when they look out at the grand spaces of outer space, and they say there's something like one septillion, that's a one with 24 zero stars out there, many of them with lots and lots of planets. And then they crunch the numbers and where these planets are, and they say there should be all sorts of alien life out there with all those stars and planets. And then they crunch the numbers and more and say, with all those aliens out there, some of them should have been advanced enough to stop by and say hello, or eat us, whatever they are, to drop in and say hello to us, but none of them have. Why not? Well, there's lots of reasons and answers to the Fermi paradox. One says they're actually already here and hiding in plain sight. The other, the one this article about, is known as the Great Filter Theory, which basically says the reason there are no super advanced aliens dropping in to say hello is that long before life forms get advanced enough to visit other solar systems, they will destroy themselves. Nuclear war, a virus of their own making, pollution, runaway artificial intelligence. There's all sorts of reasons, but the basic idea is, and this was where science becomes downright biblical, is that people, whatever the alien-like, however like people the extraterrestrials are, when people get advanced enough, leave people to themselves for long enough, and they'll wipe themselves out long before they drop in to say hello. People left to themselves. Your marriage left to itself. Your family left to itself. With all your hang-ups, with your ability to find someone to fight with anytime, anywhere, with all your griefs and losses and guilts and shame, you left to yourself. There's this guy from the gym named Gene. I always tell him whenever I talk to him, we're saving a spot for him. So if Gene ever shows up, pretend that I did not mention him, okay, in the sense. So Gene, whenever he sees me at the gym, he'll always come sauntering kind of across. He's 10, 15 years older than me, kind of sauntering across the room. Because, you know, one of the things you do at the gym is find people to talk to so you don't have to work out as long. It's a little tip. You start going to the gym. Okay. But he comes to me, and he'll always be shaking his head. He says, Padre, because he knows what I do. What's this world coming to? Ugh. Kids these days. The government, my Lord. People. They are just horrible. To which I usually say something like, yes, Gene. And it's actually worse than you think. To which he usually says something like to me, because he has the mistaken notion that Christians think or are supposed to pretend that they think that people are generally great. He usually says something to me like, you don't believe that, Ben. To which I say something like, no, Gene, I actually do. I have no hope at all in humanity. And if I did, I would not do what I do. He usually grunts and walks away at that time.
But if he hung around longer, I'd say, and NASA proves it, if people are left to themselves, they're hopeless, it's just a matter of time. But if he was still there, I'd say, but Gene, but God. I'd say, but Gene, God has not left us to ourselves. I'd say, but Gene, the God of hope. And I'd say, Gene, and I say to all of you, because we're all Gene, when it comes down to having plenty of reasons not to have hope, I'd say, but Gene, and we've got a whole book about it, that we might have hope. Have you read it? The highlights? That bit about Adam and Eve? Hopelessly. Hopelessly disobedient, but the God of hope. Where are you? First words, run, blame, hide, all you want, but where are you? I'm searching, and I will not stop searching. There will always be hope for you as long as there is me around. And what about Abram? Turn some pages. Hopelessly, hopelessly barren, old Abraham and Sarah as good as dead, but the God of hope. Laugh all you want, old people. I specialize in as good as dead. A son you'll have, and from him a nation, and from that nation one that will make the whole world laugh. And Moses? Moses leading thousands upon thousands, pinned hopelessly between Pharaoh's army and a raging water. But the God of hope, and away in the sea. And thousands, thousands more stuck hopelessly between Jericho's walls and the giants within, but the God of hope and the trumpet blasts and the walls come a tumbling down. And Samson shaved, and Gideon outnumbered, and Elijah alone, and David Goliath, and Daniel lion, and Shadrach and the boys, fuel for the furnace, and on, but the God of hope. All of it got written. That you, that me, that we might have hope. And if you missed it, Gene, notice that nowhere in there did it ever get written, hope in yourself, hope in people, hope in God and the Lord and Christ and the Word and the promise and a steadfast love, hope and all of that written that you might have hope, because all that got written, all that story got written is the same story that you have gotten written into. It's your story, the story of this same God, this same hope, that you might have hope and not just have it, but abound in it. For whatever reason, the image came to me was the French fries at Five Guys, exploding extra hope that you might share with Gene. Hope like a dead stump hope. Like Israel. Would you look at that? That shoot. A shoot coming out of a stump. Look, it's a Jesus. And holy cow, it's becoming a fruit tree and it's full of the Spirit and it's changing everything. Hope like that, or hope like in the wilderness. Now there's a hopeless place. It's hot. And it's dry, and there's lions, and there's jackals, and there's dead things, and there's other things that make things dead. And there's a voice that says, comfort, comfort. A voice crying, hope, hope, and hope. And you might say, oh, John the Baptist, that doesn't sound very hopeful because he's saying repent. But when it's repent instead of wallow in shame, when it's repent instead of a lie in your self-loathing, when it's repent because Jesus and the great Father I forgive is coming next. It's about the hopiest thing around. In fact, it's second to what's got to be the hopiest thing of all. The one all that stuff that got written in former days got written toward. A dead man, dead Jesus, dead love, dead forgiveness. But on the third day, hope, hope. 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 The whole book. It's all hope. So many reasons not to have hope. Heck, you and I are reasons not to have hope. But the God of hope. Read the Bible. Get a tattoo of your favorite story. And then when things seem hopeless, take a look at it and know that you are not left to yourself. There is hope. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.